to Matthew chapter 2 tonight, and I want to show you something here in the Bible, and we'll look just a minute here this evening. Kids did a little Christmas play over at Carrie's a while ago, and we had some folks there. We had one boy visiting, and I don't think he goes to church at all, and I was reading scripture and putting little things in there, you know, like a little witness, little thing. You can do a lot of that right now, if you will, when you get together with your family and friends. So Matthew chapter 2 this evening, look at verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born, isn't that something? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, not just a star, his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard those things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. Them people believed in prophecy. They believed the Old Testament prophecy came true. Don't believe this junk on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and all that tries to make all the Bible miracles and explain them away and say, another history book. All the prophecies in the Word of God came true and all the rest of them are going to. All right, verse number 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That ain't never happened yet. He still ain't ruling them. He will one day in the millennium, but that prophecy hadn't even took place yet. I'll tell you another one that hadn't took place yet. When the angel said, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There ain't been no peace since Jesus came. There wasn't no peace before he came. You say, well, the angel was wrong. No, he's looking forward to that day. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There will come a day of peace. You better believe it. There ain't no peace till the Prince of Peace comes and makes it that way. When the Prince of Peace is on the throne, there'll be peace on earth. And the new modern versions, like the NIV, it'll say something like, and peace on earth toward men of goodwill. Because they don't believe in the millennium. They believe just individuals can have peace in their heart. That ain't what he said. He didn't say you'll have peace in your heart. He said you'll have peace on earth. Peace on earth. And that will be during the millennial reign. Alright, three little things I want to look at tonight. And there's been probably, over 7 billion people birthed into this world. 7 billion. Only one of them changed the whole world and history. It was Jesus. He's the only one that's ever been born since time began that we started the calendar all over with his birthday. Isn't it funny that all the atheists and all the unbelievers, when they write their check, have to put 2014. That's 2014 years from the time he comes. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not nobody else, just Jesus. That's just a blessing. That's just a blessing. Glory to God. What year were you born, Bill Maher? Oh, 1945. Well, what's 1945 mean? 1,940 years from you-know-who coming into this world. What year was you born, Anton LaVey? 1820. And that's 1,920 years from the time Jesus came into this world. What year was you born, Madeline Mary O'Hara? 1913. Really, what she really was. Or 1813, she looked like. And 1,913 years from the time Jesus was coming into this world. Isn't it a blessing? Every atheist in the world dates their birthday and tell how from that one man. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you ain't never heard Larry Brown preach it, you ought to get that sermon and listen to it. Ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like Him. I think you can get it on YouTube, can't you, Kelly? You ought to get that. Everybody, y'all fool around on waste your life on a computer. Get Larry Brown preaching on, there ain't nobody like Him. By the time you get through with that, if there's any God in you at all, you'll be shouting time that's over with. I'm going to tell you tonight, glory to God, folks, I'm glad we know the real meaning of Christmas. You know, we eat, we've opened gifts. My girl's got me stuff. We got them stuff. Everybody exchange gifts, all that. It's fun. I'm telling you, they still ain't nothing like knowing the Lord and knowing what we're here for and knowing what it's all about. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm glad I know why we have Christmas. But three things right quick. First, the time of this birth. Second, the place of this birth. And thirdly, the reason for this birth. The time of the birth. The time of it. In the days of Herod the king. Think about that. No accident. Herod was the first non-Hebrew king to be on the throne ruling the Jews. That's very significant. It didn't happen 100 years earlier, it would have been wrong. It didn't happen 200 years later, it would have been wrong. But Genesis 49:10, the prophecy says that when the Lord comes, when the scepter departs from Israel, when the fullness of time was come, He come right on time. Right on time. Remember when I was young, when I was just a kid, that Jesus Christ Superstar came out. And that was blasphemy from one end to the other. There was people actually thought that was a Christian rock opera. You know, Jesus Christ Superstar, who are you, what did you sacrifice? And I remember them hippies singing that when I remember I wasn't even saved, but I felt I had a weird feeling off that stuff. And I remember thinking, this stuff ain't right. And I wasn't even saved, y'all. I wouldn't say it had a weird... How many of y'all remember the old, that old song, Jesus Christ Superstar, the rock opera? And it still hangs around once in a while. And one of the questions in that song was, if you're really the Savior, and if you're really the Messiah, why'd you come at such a weird, backward time? Why'd you come 2,000 years ago? How come you didn't come in modern times and come out in Rome or on the White House lawn or somewhere in Germany or England and London or Paris or somewhere? Let me tell you something. He come right when God said He would. God said, when the scepter departs from Israel, Genesis 49:10. You know what that means? The scepter, the rod, the leadership departs from Israel. Herod was the first non-Jewish king on the throne. And when the scepter departed from Israel, the Messiah came. Them people knew He was coming. They was looking for His star. They was looking for Him. They knew He was coming. Just like right now, we know He's coming. You know, them people, they're saying, the Messiah's coming. We come to see Him that is born King of the Jews. You know what that encourages me? Because here we are thinking the Lord's coming. People think we're crazy. They thought He was coming. He really did come. I'm telling you, He really is coming again, too. You know, that scripture said all the world should be taxed. I read that a while ago over at Carey's. I said all the world should be taxed. That's not an accident. That's in the Bible. It's not an accident. The Holy Spirit said all the world was taxed right when Jesus came. You know why? You know what was happening when He came the first time? They was raising them taxes, just like they're doing now. Every time you turn around, North Carolina just raised the gas tax. They're getting ready to tax that. If you don't have Obamacare, they're going to raise your taxes. If you do, it ain't going to do you no good if you do or not. They'll pay for it anyway. And we'll pay for it, I should say. And we'll give them money and they'll pay for it if you don't work. We'll pay for you, I reckon. But you know what? Listen, you know what? He come at the right time. He come at the absolute right time. It's called the incarnation. Now, the incarnation means God incarnated, became flesh. And that's what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God up in heaven, walking around here on earth. Emmanuel. God incarnate. He's the incarnate God. Jesus was God, hallelujah, in the flesh. Amen? Now, that's why before He was born, it's called B.C. Before Christ. After He was born, it's called A.D. That's Anno Domini. That means the year of our Lord, backwards. The year of our Lord, when He came. Okay? The time of this birth was perfect. The place of this birth. Think about the place of His birth. The prophet spoke of the place. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. He said, and thou... Excuse me, some biscuits are killing me. I'll be drinking water all night tonight. That gravy and bacon, Lord, it's like pure salt somebody dumped in my throat. Micah chapter 5, I usually fast on Wednesday and I do good preaching, but not today. Micah 5 verse 2, he said, though thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands. Now think about that. Micah prophesied what town he'd be born in 600 years before it happened. Think about that. Though thou be little among the thousands, imagine that I had a map of the United States across this wall back here. Thousands of little cities. And I, 700 years before it happened, took a dart and said, this is where a church, Shining Light Baptist Church, is going to be, and throwed it backwards, and it hit Morganton. That ain't luck. That's prophetic. That's God's Spirit. What if I'd done it again? Hit Morganton. What if I'd done it again? Eyes closed, everything. Hit Morganton. Well, you know there has to be something supernatural guiding that dart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that prophet, that could not be an accident. The prophet said, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come the Deliverer. Isn't that something? If you're here tonight and you got any doubt that the Bible's true, stuff like that ought to nail it down. 700 years. Nostradamus couldn't touch it with a 30-foot pole. Gene Dixon, them little fakes, they ain't even in the running, brother. All these psychics and seers and prophets today, they couldn't come close. Here's Micah the prophet, 700 years, slinging that thing there, bang! Just like that right there. And he said, though thou be little among the thousands, Morganton, bang! Morganton, bang! Morganton, where's Shining Light Baptist Church going to be? Bang! Morganton, that couldn't be an accident. That couldn't be an accident. If you want to find out somebody's really got the gift of prophecy, tell them, thank you, bro. You tell them to make a prophecy about a man that's going to be born 700 years from now and tell what city he's going to be born in and that his mama's going to be a virgin and that he's going to die a horrible death and make his grave with the wicked and pay for people's sins. There's your prophet, buddy. And they nailed it. The place of this birth, Bethlehem. Matthew mentions it. Micah mentions it. The Old Testament mentions it. Nobody else changes the calendar when he's born, they brought him gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Now, that represents his three offices. King, priest, and prophet. When he came the first time, he is a prophet. Myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume, bleeds a light of gathering gloom, sorrow and sighing, bleeding, dying, seal in a stone cold tomb. Remember that song? Myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume. Boom, 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 boom. Well, that's that. Myrrh's bitter. And Jesus' life, when he's here on earth as a prophet, is bitter. He tasted death for every man. And then it said, frankincense. You know what frankincense represents? Prayer. He's an intercessor. He's a priest. The priest sent up the frankincense. He's right now our high priest in heaven making intercession for us in heaven. But guess what? When he comes again, what will he be? King. Gold. Gold. Frankincense. Myrrh. Gold. Frankincense. Myrrh. Prophet. Priest. King. Prophet. Priest. King. Myrrh. Frankincense. Gold. It's perfect. You couldn't beat that. There's no way a man could have come up with that book right there. Listen, you run out of doubt after a while. You know, some people are very, very optimistic. Some people very pessimistic about different things. If you're about the man, I've told you all about this before, but about half of you wasn't here then. This man, they was talking about Christmas, and he said, "What you got your kids for Christmas?" He said, "My kids are easy to get for you. One of them is, nothing's awful." He said, "One of my kids is extremely optimistic." He said, "He don't matter what you get him, it don't matter what you buy him, he'll make the best out of it, he'll be happy with it." He said, "The other one of my boys, he's very pessimistic. I don't care what you buy him, he'll find something wrong with it. It ain't big enough. It ain't shiny enough. It ain't..." You know, you've seen people like that. "I don't care what it is. Hell, I wanted this." And he said, Christmas time came. Well, he went out and he said, "I'm going to prove to you how my boys are. One's an optimist, one's a pessimist." So Christmas morning come. The first one opened up his gift, the pessimist. It was an electric train. And he said, "Oh, electric train." And he took it apart and started putting it together. And he said, "It's not very big." He said, "I thought the cars would be bigger than this. Don't go very fast. I think something's left out on this thing. That's not really the color of a real train. Them buildings don't look exactly right. I think you should have got a bigger one." He complained about every bit of it. Found something wrong with it. That was the pessimist. Then the optimist, he had a little box. He opened it up. And he is out on the porch, and it was horse manure in a box. He just done that to him. He went running out in the yard and said, "Woohoo! Yeah! Man, this is cool!" And they said, "How in the world did he find something good about that?" And they said, "What'd you get?" He said, "I've got a pony around here somewhere if I can find it." You know what that is? That's an optimistic view. He was looking at the right side. He's looking at the bright side of stuff. His brother's looking at the bad side. Have you got an old Scrooge in your family that everything's always bad and everything's always... You know what he needs? His head beat in time or two. He'd learn to appreciate what God's done for him. Amen? That's right. But anyway, the place of this birth was Bethlehem. It was right on target. And the world hates that. The third thing is the reason for this birth. You know what the reason for this birth is? That's the main thing. Isaiah 53, the shepherd saw it. Listen, Jesus did not come to show us how to live. I get so sick and tired of these people said, "Well, you know, it's Christmas and Jesus came and to show us the right way to live." He did not come to show us how to live. You say, "Well, I thought He did." Oh, no. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinners. He didn't come show us how to live. Now, He did show us a good way to live, and we ought to try to live like Him. But that ain't why He come. He come to die for us and pay the price for us, because we couldn't live. You can't live good enough. He came to die for us in our place. A substitutionary death on the cross, brother, to pay our price for our sin. He didn't come to show us a better way. He comes to save us, the song says, from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And by the way, Socrates lived 40 years and taught. Plato lived 50 years and taught. Aristotle lives 40 years and taught. Jesus Christ lived and taught 3.5. And there's been more lives changed for the good and more good done for this world through his 3.5 years of this on this his ministry than all three of them other fellows. Like our old preacher said, he said, "Old Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates." He said, "They never done nothing for this old world." And you know what? Jesus, 3.5 years. 3.5 years, brother. 3.5 years. And nobody ever. You ought to listen to Larry Brown preach. Ain't nobody like Him. Amen? That's right. Ain't nobody like Him. Now there's two places, whole places, where everybody in them believes. One's heaven, the other's hell. Everybody in heaven believes now, and everybody in hell believes now. The only place people doubt is on earth. But I'm here to tell you tonight, He come at the right time, He come at the right place, and He come at the right reason. You know that Jesus came into this world so that you could be saved. I was telling Brother Wayne on the way down here, most churches ain't having church tonight. I don't even know of any other churches having church. There probably are some, but Ours is the only one I know of. Most churches are not even having service tonight. But I've never seen it fail yet. I've been pastoring over 35 years. I've never seen it fail yet. Every time it snows, or every time Christmas comes on, church night or something, and we go ahead and have it, there's always somebody here who needs to get right with the Lord. And there's no doubt in my mind tonight, there's somebody sitting in here tonight that needs to get right with the Lord. Years ago, we had this man in Marion, and he was wicked and wouldn't come to church. I'd go and talk to him. Guys in the church would go over on visitation, sit there and witness to him. Just take the Bible, sit down and say, "Man, would you come to church?" He'd just sit there and say, you wouldn't even think it was bothering him. He had a little girl about that high, and she had real curly hair, just curled like Shirley Temple. And she's about that high, and she crawled up in his lap and said, "Daddy, I don't want you to go to hell. Will you go to church with us?" And she stayed on him and stayed on him and stayed on him. And one day it snowed. And it snowed and it snowed. Lord, it was awful. Now, we never called off service, ever. I always said, if you can get here, get here. Can't, stay home. But for the ones that can get here, come on. And we had four-wheel drives and trucks and Toyota pickups and Jeeps and everything. Excuse me. And that night, we showed up for church, and that man came. And I don't know if it was that night or not, a few days later, he got saved. He's been saved ever since because of snow and there's a small crowd that just showed up. Now, I believe tonight, in my heart, I believe God is speaking to somebody in this church tonight. And tonight is your night to walk down here to this altar and get your heart right with God. Maybe you have been saved, but you've just got backslid and got out of church, and God's been dealing with you. You know, the other morning I preached on what would happen if Jesus came before Christmas. Well, it ain't but about 4 hours and 10 minutes till Christmas Day here on the East Coast. What would happen if Jesus came in the next 4 hours? I believe I'd want to be right with Him if I was you. I believe I'd want to leave this world when He come to take the Christians out. If you don't, you're going to be in some big, big trouble. I believe tonight there's a Christian here tonight that needs to rededicate their life here on Christmas. You know what's the best thing you can do for the Lord for Christmas? Give Him your heart. I believe there's somebody here tonight, maybe it's never been saved. I don't know that. But maybe never been saved. And tonight is your night to give it all to Him. That's the birth that changed the world. You know why Jesus came into the world? To save sinners. He comes so I could get saved. That night I got saved when I was 18 years old, I laid there on the floor and I bawled for about 45 minutes. And people crowded around, the altar was full. You couldn't get another person in the altar. And people was crying and praying. And I got saved that night. I got saved that night. And I've been saved ever since. And you can too. Same God that saved me will save you. Same God that changed my life will change your life. I hope you'll let Him do it. I want you to bow your head just for a minute. And sister, dear, if you don't care.